So we're looking this morning at one of my favourite Bible characters, and that is David. Now, you might know that David wrote quite a lot of the Psalms in the Bible. In fact, 76 of the Psalms are attributed to David. And not all of them were written when he was king. Some of them were actually written before he became king. And you know, I really love the Psalms. I don't know how often you read the Psalms yourself, but I like to read a psalm every day, or if not a whole psalm, then at least a few verses, and to spend some time meditating on the Psalms. So down through the century, the Psalms have been, I guess, a bit like a multidimensional resource for believers to pray, meditate, and seek God with. And, you know, although they're thousands of years old, they continue to be used right across all the different church denominations as a way of engaging with God in prayer. And that includes any and every situation that life could throw at you. It's all in there, in the Psalms. Eugene Peterson describes the Psalms as a toolbox for being and becoming. A toolbox for being and becoming. And one of the primary tools the Psalms provide us with is a language for prayer. And so often, if we're honest, when it comes to prayer, we just don't know what to say. What do I say next, Lord? You know, I'm not quite sure. And we can very easily get a little bit stuck in our prayer lives. And this is where David comes in, and he gives us such a wonderful example of how to engage with God in prayer. And he actually gives us language for prayer as we read the Psalms ourselves, as we engage with the Psalms. So David is described as a man after God's own heart. But what does that mean? What does it mean to be a man after God's own heart, or a woman after God's own heart? Well, it certainly doesn't mean that David lived a faultless life, because we know that he didn't. So what does it mean then? Well, let's have a look at one of the Psalms that David wrote, and from that, begin to see something of what it means to have a heart after God. And we're going to look at Psalm 34. So if you have a Bible or an iPhone or whatever, have a look at Psalm 34. And before the psalm actually begins, we find some introductory words. And it says this, Psalm 34 of David, when he pretended to be insane before Abimelech, who drove him away and he left. So this is the introduction to Psalm 34. What's going on here? Well, for many years, David spent much of his time trying to flee King Saul, who wanted to kill him. And just before Psalm 34 was written, he's managed to escape King Saul. But it was a case of out of the frying pan and into the fire. He thought that Abimelech would help him. Abimelech was a Philistine leader. But Abimelech thought, this could be a really good opportunity to take advantage of the situation. So he takes David captive. And David's life was at risk again. He could have faced imprisonment, torture. You know, it was a very dangerous situation that David found himself in. So that's where we begin. With Psalm 34. That's the situation. So let's read Psalm 34. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. I will glory in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man called, and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his holy people, for those who fear him lack nothing. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, my children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Whoever of you loves life and desires to see many good days, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from telling lies. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their cry. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to blot out their name from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. The righteous person may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. He protects all his bones. Not one of them will be broken. Evil will slay the wicked. The foes of the righteous will be condemned. The Lord will rescue his servants. No one who takes refuge in him will be condemned. So there are many different things that could be said about David and what it means to be a man after God's own heart. But I want to draw just three things. Many other things could be said, but I want to draw three things from this psalm. Firstly, continually direct your heart towards God in prayer. For David, it wasn't just about seeking God to do stuff, you know, what we might call intercessory prayer or petitioning God. It was about seeking God for who he was. You know, that's what you might call devotional prayer. He was hungry. He was desperate for God. Nothing else would satisfy him. He didn't want to just paddle around in the shallows. He wanted to wade out deep into the Holy Spirit, into the depths and the wonder of who God was. He wanted to be immersed in the presence of God. So he pursued God with all of his heart. Psalms 27:4, David says this: "One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life." This is what it means to be a man or a woman after God's own heart, to prioritize your relationship with him. And of course, Fiona spoke about Mary at the feet of Jesus. You know, it was pretty countercultural for Mary to be sitting there at the feet of Jesus. But she wanted to be with the Lord more than anything else. She had a hunger within her that kind of put to one side what other people thought. And she prioritized relationship with God. And that's what we are called to do if we want to be a man or a woman after God's own heart. We make choices about what really matter to us. And we demonstrate what is really important to us by how we choose to spend our time, not primarily by what we say with our lips. For David, knowing the Lord and spending time with the Lord was his greatest passion in life. And he pursued the Lord daily, regularly, and relentlessly. So when David found himself in this place of being held captive by Abimelech, he sought the Lord for deliverance. "I sought the Lord, and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant." Their faces are never covered with shame. Has prayer become your last resort instead of your first resort? Maybe you've lost your way and lost sight of the one thing that matters more than anything else. And that is the heart of God for you and living your life for Him. This is what was at the heart of David. You see, the challenge for each one of us is not just to be a Christian by name. It was Keith Green who once said, going to church doesn't make you a Christian any more than going to McDonald's makes you a hamburger. For David, his heart was continually directed towards God in prayer. And the psalm says that David pretended to be insane before Abimelech. And eventually Abimelech said, "This guy's crazy, just send him away." So that's kind of strange, isn't it? But what we do know from the psalm is that more than fearing man, David feared God. And that's the second thing we can learn from David, that we're called to live in the fear of God. If you want to be a man or a woman after God's own heart, then live in the fear of God. Commit yourself to grow in the fear of the Lord. Well, hold on a minute, you might say. David has just said, "I sought the Lord, and He answered me. He delivered me from all my fears." So what's this about the fear of the Lord? Well, what does it mean to fear God? Well, I want to suggest to you that fear of God means not to run away from God, but to run into His arms. It means to reverence His name and desire to walk in His ways in every area of your life. Has anyone here heard of Willie Still?
Yeah.
Well, Willie Still was a church minister in Aberdeen for over 50 years. And in many ways, you could say he was quite a traditional Church of Scotland minister, but he had some fantastic Bible teaching. And here's how William Still describes the fear of the Lord. "Fear of God is a godly fear, and it is all intermingled wonderfully with love. It's a kind of love because it exists with love and belongs to love. The fear of God is to run to Him and rest in Him. I rest in You, Lord. I hide in You. I shelter under the shadow of Your wings, because I fear You in this sense, that if I run away from You, there's no one else to run to except the devil." There are two short proverbs which help us clarify more what the fear of the Lord means. The first is from Proverbs 9, verse 10. "The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom." The second from Proverbs 8, verse 13. "The fear of the Lord is to hate what's evil." It's a fear that acknowledges the wisdom of walking in all of God's ways. Do you seek to honor God in every area of your life? Do you seek to fear Him? Because in many ways, we're living in an age when there's little fear of God. Roland spoke a few weeks ago about Samson and Delilah. And people live their lives regardless of God and His ways. David says in Psalm 35, "An oracle is within my heart concerning the sinfulness of the wicked. There is no fear of God before His eyes. I'll do whatever I like, thanks very much." But this is not wisdom from God, and it doesn't lead to the freedom and joy of walking in God's ways. Quite the opposite. Maybe you might say, you know what, it doesn't really matter if I swear as a Christian, if I curse and swear. Really? Is that true? Is that honoring to God? It doesn't really matter if I have sex outside marriage. Really? Is that honoring to God? What about temptation? Do you flee from temptation, or are you putting yourself in the way of temptation? Are you setting yourself up to fail by putting yourself in the way of temptation? Rick Warren, he says this: there are two things you need to stay away from, tempting situations or circumstances, and tempting associations, people who tempt you. One of the Saddleback Church pastors, he says this: if you hang around the barber shop long enough, you're going to get a haircut. And of course, that's what happened to Samson with Delilah. He didn't put himself out of the way of temptation. He stayed there. He stayed there. And he fell. And he ended up getting a haircut that lost his anointing with terrible consequences. What about the TV or the films that we watch? Is it okay to watch things on the TV or the internet that are full of sex or violence? Is it? Do you really want to fill your mind with that kind of stuff? Do you? Stephen Covey says this: sow a thought, reap an action. Sow an action, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. Sow a character, reap a destiny. Do you want your destiny in life to be in the hands of God because you fear him and want to honor him above all else? Because I want to suggest to you that it really does matter how we live our lives and the choices we make. Each one of us is accountable to God, and his honor and glory are at stake. As Christians, we're called to be his ambassadors. What kind of an ambassador are you? Do you fear God enough to make the right choices according to his word? His inspired word, the Bible. Because the fear of the Lord is to hate what's evil and to honor God. We don't want to make room for sin or even to stay or remain in the place of temptation. It was this fear of God that directed David's heart and marked him out as a man after God's own heart. But of course, he didn't always get it right, did he? But he recognized that those who are the people of God are called to be holy and set apart for God. In Psalm 34, he says this: fear the Lord, you his holy people, for those who fear him lack nothing. Come, my children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Whoever of you loves life and desires to see many good days, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from telling lies. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. So David was a man who continually directed his heart towards God in prayer. And he was also a man who lived in the fear of the Lord. Thirdly and finally, David had a heart that gave praise and worship to God in any and every situation he faced. He acknowledged the greatness and the glory of who God is. He focused his life on God through prayer and meditation. He feared the Lord and sought to obey God and all of his ways. But again and again, he comes back to that place of worship through music and song. Here's some examples from the Psalms. Psalm 33, verse 3. Sing to him a new song, play it skillfully, and shout for joy. Psalm 145. I will praise your name forever and ever. Psalm 138. I will praise the Lord with all of my heart. Psalm 40. He has put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to God. Psalm 57. My heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and make music to you. Awake, my soul. Awake, harp and lyre. I will awaken the dawn. Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. And Psalm 34. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be in my mouth. My soul will boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. So the Lord God Almighty, who we know as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, he alone is worthy of our worship. All other gods are false idols. Their promises are lies, and they'll come to nothing. Only the Lord himself is the one true God. He alone is worthy of our praise. Only in living for him can we ultimately find meaning and purpose in life. He alone is the creator and the ruler and the Lord of all things. He has existed from all eternity and is seated on the highest throne in heaven. He is the majestic one who rules and reigns over all things. He is the King of glory. He is the God of Israel. David faced much opposition and fled for his life from King Saul on several occasions. And when he experienced the deliverance of God and answered prayer, he didn't put it down to his own cleverness or his own gifting. He turned to God and gave God all the glory and praise. He shows himself to be a man after God's own heart through a life of prayer. So the challenge for us is, how are we going to establish a daily practice of prayer in our lives? And it would be very easy to be prescriptive about that, but the reality is that each one of us is different. But I do want to encourage you to open your Bible, to make time to spend with God every day, because Jesus gave everything to have that relationship with you. He is passionately in love with his people. And when you spend that time with him, there's nothing he loves more. In the secret place, where no one else sees you, it's just you and the Lord. Sow into that place in your life, so that more and more the character of Jesus can be formed in you. For David, this is what it meant to be a man after God's own heart, through a life of prayer and devotion to God. But it also meant the fear of the Lord. And we need to ask ourselves that question. Am I living in the fear of God? Am I living in the fear of God, which is the beginning of wisdom? Am I living in the fear of God that seeks to live every area of my life to his honor? And am I living a life of worship and praise to God? Because the Holy Spirit wants to draw us again and again into that place of worship to Jesus. But we have to make the choice. You know, I'm not really a morning person. I'm not like Gregor at all, who gets up at 4:30. It's like, that's the middle of the night to me. So mornings are not always the best time for me to spend with God. It's just gone morning, so that's good news. But whatever works for you, make that place. Be jealous about that place, to spend that time with God. Make it a priority. Invest in that place, the secret place with God. Devote yourself to God. Fear God and live for Him and worship Him and praise Him with every area of your life. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your heart towards us, that you are a jealous God. And the Spirit you've caused to live within us envies intensely. The Holy Spirit envies intensely. Because you desire a people for yourself, a people set apart for your glory. So, Lord, as we go into this fresh week, we seek to lay our lives down to you and give to you all that we are. To be devoted to you, to live in the fear of God, and to worship and praise you with all of our lives. Amen.